Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome to the Marketing Technology Podcast. Today, we have a father and son, Jos and Sam Ovett, from various places in the US, owning a company called Mobile Pocket Office. And we want to know more about that. Welcome, Jos and Sam.
Hey, guys.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Great. So starting with Josh, the father. So could you explain a little bit about your background? Mobile Pocket Office, it's a nice name. I want to know more about that. And after that, Sam, you can take over and elaborate a little on your background.
So we are a father and son team. I don't own the business. We own it together. And as of today, news is father and sons. My second son, who is has a master in engineering, is coming in and doing analytical work and business development. But a little background, I spent 30 years in the IT business automating mostly for corporations, a lot of them who are listed on the stock exchange, and dealt with working with them in manufacturing because they had remote salespeople. Or they had just a sales team that had to be remote. You know, they had a dozen salespeople to cover manufacturing because they sold through distribution. So 8 years ago, when I said, you know what, I have a couple other companies. I said, I need to want to be anywhere. And now that technology was almost ubiquitous, it's better today than it was then, but it was good then. As I said, hey, I want to work from anywhere. I want an office with a view that I choose at any time. So that's where Mobile Pocket Office, and all of our decisions from that point were, can I do business on my phone or tethered to my phone somewhere else as long as I have an internet connection? That's how Mobile Pocket Office came. And the background here is, you know, our motto is be human where it counts, otherwise automate. If there's something that has to be done more than once a year and more, whether it takes 5 minutes or 5 hours, if you can automate it, let a computer do it. Let a system do it. Let a process do it. And that way it's repeatable. It works. You get the same experience. And you get to free up your time to do something else, like go kayaking, skiing, hiking, swimming, walking the dog, all things that we got to be entrepreneurs for.
Nice. And Sam, a little bit about your background. So you joined your father when you started the company or after that? Could you explain a little on that background?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, growing up around it, we're always involved with business process conversations because Josh, my father, had always done that since I could remember, some form of that implementation. And then what we found is I had a background in environmental science and working in the outdoor industry, and then moving into the marketing side in the outdoor industry. And what I saw was a big lack of use of automation, because I'd always heard the discussion around it at the house, automation, business process. And so we started to notice this gap that was taking place. And then I started to see it everywhere in all the industries, and it sort of came to life for me. And that's when Josh and I said, hey, you know what, why don't we take all this work that Josh has done with business analytics and business process over the years and apply it to more of the top of the funnel side, where, well, top of the funnel right after the lead comes in to the marketing automation and the sales automation. And then that's where Mobile Pocket Office was born, out of this idea that we really want to make it so that people are automating what they can and have that opportunity to be human where it counts with the relationships with their customers and just free up their time. And so that whole window into it really got me excited. And having just the grown up around it, it was pretty natural to just step in and go, okay, let's rev this thing up and really go. And so that was, Josh, say about 6 or 7 years ago now.
Wow.
And so we started the Mobile Pocket Office arm together, but prior to that, Josh was always involved with some kind of automation or business process and analytics.
Are those processes, are they all within the marketing domain, or do you automate other stuff as well?
You know, we really do automate the whole picture of the business. Usually people reach out to us because of the marketing automation, and they come for the marketing automation and they stay for the business process. You know, And so I'll put it that way, because we find, and Josh, you have a great story that you like to tell that's a good one about the little balloons. If you go to a little circus or a fair or a market where someone's tying balloons and they're pressing air and making little balloon animals, they're moving that air down through the animal. They're not actually getting rid of any of that air. And so that's the same thing with the process that we see, is if we give you process for marketing and sales, what that does is it pushes more problems down your pipeline of your business, that now you have an overflow, a positive one. But now you've got more leads. Now you have more prospects to follow up with. You have more automation handling it. So what do you do with that? Well, you have to look at your fulfillment. How do you automate that where you can? You have to look at your ability to delight your customers. How do you automate that where you can? And then you have to look at all the pieces that just go involved with running a business, like the accounting and the pieces that you have to deal with if you have physical inventory. So for that reason, we start at the top because people like it and are usually wanting to do more at the top in their marketing and sales, but then it flows all the way through.
Well, so when people talk about marketing automation, when companies start to adopt marketing automation or inquire about it, they very often mean email automation. So the stuff at MailChimp, et cetera. Is that what you understand when people, or is that what you mean when you're talking about marketing automation, or are you envisioning a broader use case for automation?
Sam, you want to run with
that? Yeah, let me run with that, because I think that's where it starts for a lot of people. And I think it starts there because that's the automation that they experience themselves. And that's also gets marketed pretty heavily to a lot of people. And you go, well, I can automate this, right? I need to nurture a customer, a new lead. And that is the starting point. It's kind of like the gateway drug to marketing automation, if you will. And then from there, you find out when you start looking at it, and I'm sure you've encountered this in your work, is that, wow, there's all the processes involved in a business, and you can really automate a lot of that. And the way we look at it and help people think about it is we say, look, first you have process, automated or not. And then you can add automation to that process. And above process is systems. You know, you have your marketing, you have your sales, those are bleeding together more and more. And then from there, you have your fulfillment, then you're delighting your customers, and then you're asking for referrals. All of that is your big picture systems. Then what are the processes in the systems that you do to make it happen? And then from there, what can you automate that you do repeatedly? So Josh, why don't you talk for just a moment about how we actually have someone identify where they can automate or what they might should automate? Because I think that's important. That's how somebody goes about actually diving in and starting this process outside of just the email pieces.
I look at this from almost like an engineering perspective, where if you're looking at best practices, you want to make sure that the process is precise and it doesn't break. That way you get a consistent flow every time, a consistent result every time. You know, there's tolerances. If it wavers too much, you get weird results and customers be unhappy. So the way we look at it is we start and like lean manufacturing, we start and say, okay, where are the bottlenecks? And, you know, we look at each of these different things and say, how do we improve what you're doing? Some people are so used to doing the same thing over and over again, they don't know what's broken. Or some people try to take the physical world and put it into the digital world. And a good example of that is, hey, water comes in at this pipe in the room. I fill it up with a bucket, Excel, right? I walk over to the other end of the room and I dump it into another pipe, you know, and some, you know, it's been doing that for years. We move the water. Nobody thought to say, hey, why don't we put a pipe in the middle and connect the two? And then, you know, the person with the water can go do something else, you know, with the bucket. So, I always say, I always ask the question, how many versions of an Excel spreadsheet do you have when you work with a team? And that gives me an indication, oh, we have six of these and three of these and four of those. And that's got 15 versions. I know they already have a centralized data problem. Mm-hmm. And then when we talk about automation, it's amazing if you do something that you can scale it. So I'll use an example of an attorney. He processed loan closings and he had 14 people and he could handle about, you know, 1,000 a month. We automated almost all the jobs and the workflow. And then when we turned on the marketing, he was able to do close to 8,000 closings a month with the same amount of people.
Wow. Wow. That's okay. Automation.
That's automation.
That's automation.
You know,
that's the magic of vision. That's your vision on automation. So automate. Could you explain what your exact vision on automation is, or maybe you have a claim on it, or because to me it sounds like you're not only looking at marketing automation, but automating entire workflows and aim for success in an automated way and automate what you can, basically, right?
That's right. Josh, let me jump in on this.
Go ahead.
There's really two core areas where we want people to think about automating. One is automate where it saves you time that you would otherwise have to do manually yourself or hire someone and pay someone to do. And that's an opportunity to make it yourself more profitable. And then the other is use automation to do things in the customer experience that would otherwise be nearly impossible to do as a human in terms of following up and being there for your customer at the relevant stage in their experience consistently every time so that you can generate more revenue that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that
makes sense. So save time or do things that are impossible to do as a human so that you become able to make more revenue. And then by saving the human resources involved in all that goes on with it, you become more profitable.
So here's an interesting thing, and everybody can relate to this. What is it like waking up every moment in entrepreneur mode? Okay. Yeah. I mean, you think about that, you know, that's like, that can be either really exciting or like what, you know, you're trying to tap down every issue that's coming along every day. So the idea here is if you can use automation to take care of things so that they don't break. I know that in my case, when I started, how I got involved with some of the Entreport, as I'm sure we'll talk about, I had a SaaS operation that we ran for many years and my assistant decided that she was going to retire. And, her total package with benefits and everything else was close to six figures. She had been with me for a long time. Mm-hmm. She was responsible for running a very important part of my business, billing and collections.
Yeah.
Really simple.
And it was just to be clear, hey, yeah. Josh, let's let everybody know, because I think we think SaaS, we think small scale subscriptions sometimes, but this happened to be an enterprise SaaS offering that had a bit of custom work to it for each client, right?
Yes. So
it needed billing and collections, obviously.
Yes, because we dealt with corporations, all right? Yep. It wasn't, it wasn't all credit card stuff, a little bit. The subscription was four figures a month, okay? Just mm-hmm. to kind of give you an idea. It was a business intelligence subscription for corporates. Anyway, so long story short is, a customer's entire team had access to the system. So if the system got turned off because they didn't pay a bill, we had a lot of a phone rang, any time of the day because it was global. Their people were anywhere. When she retired, I said, okay. I asked my team, hey, and they said, oh, we'd love to build something. And I said, yeah, and then you're not going to be billable. No. And when I have a problem, I'm going to take you off projects because I need to make sure this works. So I looked around and I replaced her entire job with Entreport. That's how I got it. And so it went from six figures of overhead to less than $3,000 a year. and it did everything I needed to run my SaaS operations, marketing, billing, collections, dunning, accounts receivable went from 30 days to two.
Nice.
And the phone stopped ringing with people, you know, hey, look, if your credit card bounced, you know, all you need to do is turn it back on. And I got the excuse of saying, hey, it's automatic. I can't deal with it. Just do that.
Cool. So you already mentioned Entreport a couple of times. So on the Marketing Technology Podcast, we had plenty of guests from all kinds of, let's say, marketing automation vendors, but we have not had anyone or an agency or anyone working with Entreport yet. So could you explain to the listeners what Entreport does, what it is? You already mentioned what it costs, but you know, I'd like to know what it does before I'd like to buy it. So
sure, yeah,
tell me on it.
Yeah, Sam, you wanna?
Yeah, so let's first just define our. Yeah, so first our role with Entreport, just so everybody knows, is we're certified consultants for Entreport, and so we don't work for Entreport, but we're on their list of certified consultants. But we use it a lot and we implement it a lot. And what it does is it really does a great job. Not only does it handle the things that everybody thinks about, like you said, email automation, but it allows you to do something really important. It puts all, for the most part, all of your data in one place relative to your marketing efforts, your sales efforts, and your whole business efforts. And that way you can say what's working, what's not, and you can flow it all through a central system that has the power to automate all these different workflows. And that's the real reason we use it. Not to mention they have an amazing support team, but which is huge. But the main thing is that you can flow everything through one system. And that's really important because we want people to know their numbers when they're doing business. And if your data is all over the place and you're trying to flow it from one system to another to make all these different workflows that have to happen, it's becomes exponentially more challenging to report on the effectiveness of what you're trying to do, whether that's saving time or making more money and converting more people to become customers. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So it's like you might refer to as an all-in-one system, but it gives you insights into all kinds of data into your numbers, which is obviously very important. Other systems, just for the listeners also to put this in perspective, like how does it differ from, let's say, an active campaign or maybe Zoho or even HubSpot? What's the difference that people can see on those different systems?
Sure. So I'd say in our experience, it's in a similar, like if you're thinking about types of systems and you're researching them, it's in a similar category, right? In that HubSpot category, you're looking for a system that can handle these different types of business workflows that occur across the entire business. The primary difference that we've noticed is, number one, their support is amazing, which is huge because no matter who you are, you're going to have little technical challenges that you face when you're trying to build and get systems going because it's technology and that's just the nature of it. And so if you can have a great support team that you can reach out to at any time, for the most part, you can quickly move over little hurdles that you might encounter. And if the system is having a little bit of an issue, the downtime is super small. I'm sure they have a report on it, but things like that, specifically the support, are what set that apart in a major way from those others. And then functionality wise, we found that Entreport not only is very powerful and has the complexity to do nearly any workflow that we've imagined, and they do have an open API for those in the super techie. Mm-hmm. So really, we can really do whatever we want. We can hook stuff into it. other systems were needed, but they make it easy for the user, which is great, because if you're implementing an automation system, it can get real complex real fast. But the people in your business who need to use it, the team that needs to go in and just see a visual of what's going on with their contact, where are they in the sales stage? Do they need to follow up or deliver something?
So let me.
They don't need to see all the complexity. They just need to be able to use the system. So from that standpoint, it makes it really easy. Josh, do you want to elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, you mentioned some of the other systems out there, and all of them have a role, all of them have a place. The interesting thing about Entreport that we've been using is that many systems out there, I'll call, put you in a box. In other words, they have a process and you can follow it. Some of it can be massaged or customized to a certain degree. Entreport is like a blank canvas. I can pull out all the different crayons and colors and make it the way I want. If I want to send you a series, and the other part that makes it really cool with that is, and this is also very different, in today's world, we're talking about personalization, right? People want to know if you're talking to them or interacting with them, that, you know, it's more real. So the ability to, because the data is there in one spot, the beta, you know, we've all heard of merging an email. Well, guess what? You're taking data from your database. But we can do that with web pages, processes, follow-ups. You know, there are a lot of little tools you can buy to all these other systems so that if I send you an email, I send you a web page that says, hey, Sam, nice to see you back. By the way, you know, based on your experience, here's some things we recommend. And guess what? That's all being pulled based on your past purchases or profile or things that you like or enjoy that are stored in the database. It's all connected. The ability to customize that experience is really cool. And if you want to connect it up to another system, you can do that too. So from my background, I implemented systems like Microsoft CRM, Dynamics, Salesforce, the original was Sales Logics. I go way back. That was the grandson of ACT, the original CRM.
Yeah, I remember ACT.
Okay. Well, to put a little spin on it, I used to use ACT with DOS, and then it became ACT with interface on Windows. And there were some amazing stories I did with ACT. And then, you know, Pat Sullivan came out with Sales Logics, and I was one of the original 50 resellers of Sales Logics, and it was amazing. And let me put this in perspective. It used to take us a month or two or three with development and Sales Logics and those other systems. Using Entreport, I was done in a few hours. I literally could build an entire process in half a day. And it blew my developers team away, going, oh my goodness, do we still have jobs?
Yeah, I can't imagine. And that's a great story about the usability and the ease of use, etc. And what specifically triggers me is that open API and the way it hooks up into other systems, which leads me also to the next question. So what other tools or MarTech tools do you use in your MarTech stack yourselves, or do you recommend to businesses, which might or might not hook into Entreport or another marketing automation system? What kind of, basically tools or hidden gems could you share with the listeners today?
Sure. In preparation.
So actually, yeah, I was going to say the same thing, Josh, in preparation for the call. Go ahead.
So, you know, I figured, you know, if you're saying, you know, what do we run our business on? That's one thing. What are the core pieces of technology that we use to run our business? And then there are other cool little things that help generate leads. I'll let Sam talk. But I made a list of the things that if you know, it's like if you cut off an arm, you would have a hard time working. You have to find another arm.
That's a nice way to put it.
You know, these are the things that we rely on every day. Entreport, teamwork.com, which we do our project management with multiple teams and projects. G Suite, we use diagrams.net to do all of our business process mapping interactively with our clients. justcall.io is our phone system, integrates with Entreport. PandaDoc for doing proposals online and follow-up and taking cash. Our accounting is done online by bench.co. It's all automated. There's actually humans behind it, but it's all automated. Zoom, Stripe, Calendly, WordPress, WP Engine, Bonjoro for being personal.
Oh, I love Bonjoro. We had them on the MarTech podcast as well.
And, Evernote, just for a place to, I call it my organized trash can. I've got an idea. I need to put it somewhere. I can find it again. And then we run everything on with MacBooks and iPhones at the moment. But that's the core stack. And then we have probably a list of 50 to 100 different little pieces that you need to do something. They're task oriented pieces. Okay, I need a little video for doing an ad. Boom, I've got an equivalent of a package and I can do it quickly.
Yeah.
Everything about marketing is you hear a good idea, you want to test it out, right?
Absolutely. So one of the things that strikes me here is because you in your list you also talked about PandaDocs. So PandaDocs, for people that might not know, is online proposal software as well, right?
Yes, it's a proposal. Yes, PDQ, I think they also call it. The idea is I can make a proposal. It's really cool. My proposals have videos and testimonials embedded in them. People can check things out. I know when people watched it. It's an amazing system. It's all you can templatize it, so I can whip up a proposal after a call or while I'm on a call and say, "Here, look at this." And it just made life a whole lot simpler.
It's one of the things we started using within Marketing Guys as well. We use a system called Quote Roller. They got acquired by PandaDocs, so we've not migrated to PandaDocs yet. Did you also integrate your PandaDocs with Entreport? Because it would be cool to see that people opened your proposal and the way they behaved on your website, etc. So how did you integrate those?
Let me tell you this: it's not a secret sauce. It just took a little time. So obviously, when a deal comes, when we have a prospect, and I've made a deal in Entreport, right? I'll just say, okay, it's time for proposal. And I add a tag, proposal, right? And then if they using Zapier in this case, we're going to be changing over to Integromat. They just rolled out a new integration on Entreport, which is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that tag goes on and then it adds all the contacts from that that deal, multiple contacts associated with that deal, into PandaDocs. And I'm ready to go over into PandaDocs and then, do my proposal. I just, pick who I'm doing. And then once the proposal is sent, it puts a tag on that deal that the proposal has been sent. When the proposal has been opened, it puts a tag as an open. When a proposal is signed, it's completed. And then there's a whole thank you process and referral process that comes out of Entreport right there.
Cool. So it's completely automated the way it should be.
Yeah. I mean, when somebody pays their first bill, we get a text saying, like hot leads now. Somebody has paid. It's exciting.
Cool.
But then here's the interesting thing is, once they've paid, okay, if they're not already a client, it's not just another project, we use that tag to then fire off the process of they automatically get set up in Teamwork. They automatically get invited to Teamwork. They automatically get set up on the onboarding video series. Mm-hmm. They automatically get set up on a Google folder that we create so that we have a place for them to upload assets that we're working on. And it also schedules the first call with them. So what used to take me about an hour and a half to kind of put together, if I didn't get interrupted, is one click.
Wow. So it will be interesting for listeners to hear how long it took you to automate this, because people tend to think these are very, let's say, very difficult processes to automate, or it takes time, etc. Of course, it's going to save you a lot of time. You told me, you just told the listeners it saves you 1.5 hours per client. So how long did it take you to get a process like this automated?
So in reality, it happened over time. But if I were to start today in maybe 90 minutes, if I started cold, and we do this with each of our customers because they say, I want that. In about 90 minutes, we've got it all connected and tested and ready to go.
Wow, 90 minutes. Yeah, so that's the equivalent of one customer.
Actually, I'll put it in perspective. This week, I have 17 appointments left this week. Mm-hmm. I expect that I'll make a proposal after each call. Somebody's going to say, can you send me over something, right, for our call?
Yep.
I'll be finished with that. I leave 15 minutes in between calls so I can send fill out in Panadox what we talked about, right? Because they're already in Panadox. I've already done that. They're on a call. Mm-hmm. And then boom, 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 you know, I say send and the process begins and I'm on to the next thing. The only thing that I do in the meantime, so, you know, about Bonjouro, I get very personal. I send a Bonjouro to everybody that I've had a conversation with. I send a Bonjouro to people I meet on LinkedIn because they get to see my face, hear my voice, talk about some concept. And it's like, whoa, it's different, you know?
And again, to listeners that have not heard that episode, we had Bonjouro on the MarTech podcast as well. So a couple of episodes back. So just look into your favorite platform and look it up. But Bonjouro, absolutely. We've been using it as well. So it's absolutely amazing. It's a way to get personal through video. People are used to, let's say, these kinds of videos now because of the whole Corona thing going on. But it's so effective. It's absolutely. I'm glad to hear that. It's something for you as well, because for you, it's like a qualifying thing, right? So it helps you qualify your leads, right?
It helps build a relationship. That's number one. But the second thing it does, okay, which is very interesting, is we've actually set up a Bonjouro effectiveness funnel. All right, we actually have a campaign and reporting that shows those deals that we didn't use Bonjouro versus those deals we did. And it shows you how much more money and how much more closes that. So
it's like an A-B split.
It is an A-B split with or without, you know, and we've tested it and we go, you know, we get a significantly higher close rate with people who, and people reply to you. The interesting thing is lately I've been using this when people reach out to LinkedIn with me and I say, sure, send me, let's make an appointment. I have a little thing. This may be helpful to everybody. All right. In this Corona times, right? You know, everybody's trying to get an appointment. I just say, let's do virtual coffee.
Yeah.
And that's a Zoom meeting. You know, I literally have a coffee cup.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a conversation. And, you know, these days, you never know where it winds up. So that's been something that's been a fun thing for me. And, you know, I invite them on Bonjouro with a cup of coffee. And then I have automation that when they do certain things, it then starts a flow of communications that is somewhat custom to them and the type of things that they're trying to do.
So what I'll do for the listeners is I'll put together that list that you just summed up and put those in the show notes so people can actually look it up. And what I'll also do is, because I enjoyed this interview and, you know, I'm going to put your LinkedIn profiles in the show notes so people can reach out to you guys. Because one thing I remember from this interview is automation. So everything needs to be automated. And the way you look at it is like, if you have to repeat it more than once, automate it. And you're the guys that can help people do that. So
I want to be the laziest guy on earth. You know, I want to talk to people. But as far as if I can get stuff done and they don't take a vacation, they don't get sick, they don't complain, they don't ask for raises, and it just happens. and as a side, if you want, I'll stick it on our website. And I'll make a thing called Tech Stack, you know, mm-hmm. from our website. And I'll put all that stuff there with links and everything if you want.
Oh, cool.
And some of these things that I've got some discount codes, whatever, they can try it for free and have some fun. That way
what you can share it with folks. We'll share a link to that so people can actually go to your website and look them up. And if you have some sign up codes or vouchers or whatsoever, people can share it, can use it. And then, absolutely, you know, that's the whole thing. And that's what I remember from this show, automation. It's not only about marketing automation, but automating as many processes within the whole company as possible, just to make life easier. As you put it, to be the laziest guy on earth, which I like that one, but you know, some people tend to think automation is a hard thing. You make it sound easy, fast. So I want to thank you guys very much for being on the Marketing Technology Podcast. I enjoyed it. Well, usually we invite people over again in a year or so. So that's what we'll do with you guys, to hear how much you've automated. And if we might catch you while you're asleep, because you know, you don't have to work anymore because everything get automated.
Let's hope so.
You know? So, hey, yeah, this is what I was saying. Don't invest in anything that eats while you sleep.
Well, again, thank you, Josh. Thank you, Sam, for being on the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or iTunes. Also, if you want to be a guest or know someone that should be a guest to our show, shoot me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you for listening.